Alright, we are on round 8. Tell us. A collection title for this sensation bundles together Streets of Lost Brothers, Dita Saxova, and Indecent Dreams, and is by Arnost Lustig. The protagonist notices this phenomenon right after Pauline Weatherby collapses in the story The Yellow Iris, which was expanded into a 1945 novel whose title starts with the word sparkling. A man recalls this sensation, harkening back to the first page of the novel when he goes to see the film Cabiria with Leona Cassiani. At the beginning of that novel, a doctor notices this phenomenon in the home of his frequent chess opponent, the photographer.
Yeah.
Phenomenon.
The photographer Jeremiah de Saint-Amour. This sensation reminds Juvenal Urbino of the fate of unrequited love in the first sentence of Love in the Time of Cholera. For 10 points, name this sensation, which in murder mysteries is a telltale sign of cyanide poisoning.
The smell of burnt almonds.
That's fine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Nice.
That's cool. That's a cool
one. 2. A psychiatrist sees this symbol painted on a wall after Mamiya uses the water trickling from a spilled glass to hypnotize her. Takebe investigates a series of murders in which this symbol is carved into the neck of each victim in Kiyoshi Kurosawa's film Cure. The symbol appears on the wall behind George Raft's character, Ronaldo, in a Howard Hawks film, in which 7 of these shapes can be seen above the 7 victims of a St. Valentine's Day massacre-like attack. The shape is a recurring motif in the 1932 version of Scarface, which inspired a similar motif in a remake of Infernal Affairs.
So it's just an X?
Yes, 10.
Oh, because they're killed.
Yeah, well, and the remake is The Departed.
Toss 3. The designer of this specific structure included a smaller scale version in the V.C. Morris gift shop in San Francisco. Richard Serra throws molten Vaseline at the structure in Matthew Barney's Cremaster 3. In 1998, Frank Gehry covered this specific structure with reflective stainless steel for a wildly popular but controversial event sponsored by BMW and organized by Thomas Krenz. The structure's semicircular bump out is a vestige of the so-called quick version of the structure proposed in the original design, which also featured a glass elevator that would take
okay, so it's like salt of
no. To the top of the structure. The structure dominates the rotunda in a building conceived of as a temple of the spirit that from the outside resembles an upside-down ziggurat. But at points, Frank Lloyd Wright designed what curved structure where art is displayed at a New York City?
Guggenheim staircase.
No.
Ramp.
That's frustrating.
Oh, well. Sorry. Toss 4. On a TV show named for this person, Marie Osmond ditched her cue cards and recited the entirety of Hugo Ball's sound poem, Caravane, from memory. The polyglot Norbert Perlroth spent decades working 10-hour days in the employ of this person. In 1929, this person inspired millions of people to write to Congress demanding that the Star Spangled Banner be made the official national anthem. This man provided fainting beds for visitors when he displayed his collection at the 1933
Chicago. Yeah.
Was it just Ripley?
Yes.
Fucking
nice.
Toss 5. A Siri woman striding through the Sonora Desert is compared to one of these figures in the title of a Graciela Iturbide photograph. Sally Mann evoked one of these figures representing uncertainty to explain her use of wet plate collodion. A series of photographs named after these figures made in Rome in 1977 includes one showing the blurry artist jumping next to some sheets hanging from a ceiling. The caption on a being this type of figure was added to 2 self-portraits depicting Francisca Woodman with her chest thrust forward. One of these figures is mentioned in the title of a photograph of a man with a tin cup leaning on a wooden railing and facing away from most of the other people.
Angel?
Yes.
Angel,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. 10. Toss 6. The beat poet Gregory Corso, who Bruce Cook described as an urchin version of this poet, wrote of having a madness for Chatterton, Rimbaud, and this writer in his poem I Am 25. Corso's ashes were buried at the foot of this poet's grave. Near the beginning of Kaddish, Allen Ginsberg recalls reading aloud the last triumphant stanzas of a poem by this author, referencing a passage in which this poet commands, "Seek shelter in the shadow of the tomb," after urging to go thou to Rome. According to Ginsberg, a young Jack Kerouac frequently quoted the line, "I weep for the title character, he is dead," from
Shelley.
Yes.
Yeah, good job.
Sure. Toss up 7. Carrots interprets a metaphor literally and performs this action, accidentally killing the Supreme Grand Master in a scene from Guards Guards by Terry Pratchett. Junior breaks his geometry teacher's nose by performing this action in Sherman Alexie's absolutely true diary of a part-time Indian. Miss Jemima nearly faints with terror when this action is performed by Becky as she leaves school and a coach in Vanity Fair.
That's a really weird
buzz.
Their old book?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the book. Yeah.
I told you that was famous. Tossbait. In a playset at one of these specific locations, an octogenarian pretends to be a lawyer for the fake human rights organization Hertzfo to prevent Danforth from firing his friend Midge. This type of location is the setting of Herb Gardner's play I'm Not Rappaport. In another playset at one of these locations,
park bench.
Park.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That's
a
movie.
Top 9. Nice. Note to players: specific term required. The word for this phenomenon is sandwiched by a stylized barcode on the cover of a book by Richard Dennis and Clive Hamilton. This phenomenon is called an all-consuming epidemic in the title of a book by John DeGraff, David Wan, and Thomas H. Naylor. A 1997 PBS documentary titled For the Escape from This Phenomenon brought it back to the public consciousness. A book by Oliver James calls this phenomenon a virus caused by selfish capitalism. In 2013, the psychologist G. Dick Miller controversially invoked this phenomenon in his testimony in the case of Ethan Couch, a teenager who killed four people.
Yeah!
Oh, fuck. What's it called? It's like, too much being rich. It's affluenza.
Sure. 10 points.
Too much being rich.
No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Toss, 10.
Damn.
Pure Ubu frontman David Thomas used these five words to start the title of his 2008 version of Ubu Roy. In a short story collection whose title begins with these five words, a character vomits up a thick stream of puke composed of partially digested clams and wine onto the spotless headdress of Mother Teresa. These words precede Tim Horton in the title of a Guy Madden story.
Bring me the head of.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Good thing you stopped me from nagging with what we talked about.
Toss up 11. The future merchantess of this place drags away the body of her secret husband after he has a heart attack in her bedroom in a story from the collection A Group of Noble Dames. The penultimate chapter of a novel by the same author ends with a woman at this location standing up and saying, "I am ready," after telling her lover this happiness could not have lasted. In that 1891 novel, the wind at this location produces a booming tune, like the sound of an Aeolian harp, prompting a man to call it a very temple of the winds. After falling asleep on an altar at this place, the protagonist is arrested for murder.
Stonehenge? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
10 points. 12. A Harper's essay by this author describes how the FBI raided the homes of his friends Ken Miller and Jock Sturgis and gives the name Brat Fink to an anonymous person who claimed that anti-growth and anti-progress themes persist in this author's work. This author's essay, Life as a Terrorist, mocks the un-Americans for not having read his 1992 novel about French Jesuit missionaries in 17th century Canada, but still citing its anti-industrialist themes. The FBI suspected that this author was the Unabomber, noting...
Barthelme?
No. Noting in their file that the Unabomber's moniker FC could be related to this author's novel Fathers and Crows, the second volume of his Seven Dreams series. For 10 points, name this author of Rising Up and Rising Down in Europe Central.
Lauren?
Yes.
That's my bad. That's a different rumor.
They're taking me a little bit, too.
All right, so at the half, it's 50, 55.
Okay.
Alright, toss up 13. A William Frankenna book titled for one of these two terms begins with a chapter titled for the other term, which adopts Bishop Butler's characterization of that term as an institution of life. One of these terms is criticized as a peculiar institution that relies on the obligation-in, obligation-out principle and should be abandoned in favor of the other of these terms in a Bernard Williams book on one of these terms, and the limits of philosophy. These terms are used in the standard English translations of the second and third of Hegel's Three Spheres of Right, the third of which is called Sittlichkeit in German.
Oh, morals and ethics?
Yes.
Thanks. That's morality and ethical life.
Title 14. An opera with this title is about a love quadrangle among archaeologists working in the ruins of Mycenae and is based on a play by Gabriel de Annunzio. that opera this title, whose full version was lost during World War I and which was reconstructed and staged for the second time ever in Gothenburg in 2020, is by Nadia Boulanger. The libretto for another opera with this title was credited to Paul Schott, a collective pseudonym for the composer and his father Julius. That opera with this title, in which Paul is obsessed with Marietta because she resembles his late wife Marie, features the duets Gluck, Das Meer, Verblieb. But in points, give this name of an opera by Eric Korngold, whose title refers to Bruges, Belgium.
City of Bridges.
Oh. The city.
The dead city.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is. Cool.
That's hard.
Wow.
Toss, 15. In a high-profile trial, Kempton Bunton was unusually convicted of stealing one of these objects, but not another object that was attached to it. A three-tiered variety of this object was designed by a gender nonconforming Brit who used the name Gluck. A girl in red velvet dress and a wide black hat rests her hands on one of these objects.
Okay, so like a severed head, specifically? No.
Entertaining by Rembrandt. A cord juts out from one of these objects wrapped in cloth and Eva Hesse's sculpture hang up. Her famous client, George Off, designed some of these objects with a clamshell molding, which can be seen in photographs taken by the client's husband, Alfred Stieglitz. One of these objects now hangs where Storm on the Sea of Galilee used to hang before being stolen from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. But I'm seeing these objects that surround paintings.
Frames.
Yes.
Oh,
the painting. Different clues from this one.
They didn't take the frame.
Plus 16. Curator Jesse Aaron Greenberg's 2021 exhibition of this name at the Marinaro Gallery included a sculpture by Grace Lee Lawrence of a bunch of bananas shaped like a foot. Truckers, teachers, underwater divers, voters, vets, and volunteers are all listed near the end of a Keith Baker book titled For This Sequence of Five Letters that is illustrated with tiny vegetables. A novel titled for this sequence of letters includes a character named Nevin Nolup, who is honored with a statue for having invented the phrase, the quick brown fox jumps over the...
It's probably A-E-I-O-U.
Nope. That progressively lipogrammatic epistolary fable titled for this sequence of letters is by Mark Dunn. The first four letters in the sequence of five letters are not just one single letter, according to a song by They Might Be Giants. This sequence corresponds to the lyrics What You Are in a song that is sung to the tune of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. But in points, give the series of five letters, often misheard in the alphabet song.
Element OP.
Yes.
Wow.
That was a really
wow.
Fun toss-up.
You guys haven't read Element OPs or the Element OP
much smarter than I was.
Plus of 17. A poem titled For This Geographical Feature ends by describing a monster that can be seen for sixpence or a shilling. An author who styled himself Knight of the White Elephant of Burma described a storm fiend menacing this geographical feature in a poem from the collection Poetic Gems. A poem about this geographical feature sagely concludes that the stronger we our houses do build.
Yeah.
The Tay.
Yes. Toss of 18.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not Peter, but a man with this first name aims two separate pistols at his head in a painting recently exhibited at the show Peter Saul, Crime and Punishment. An art critic of this name, whom Peter Sheldahl claimed was an intellectual antagonist of mine, co-founded the stodgy magazine The New Criterion. Another writer with this first name curated the exhibition Alice Neal Uptown and won the 2016 Pulitzer Prize for Criticism for pieces like a review of Lynn Nottage's Sweat. That critic with this first name included people like Truman Capote, Eminem, and Flannery O'Connor in the title demographic category of his 2013 book, White Girls. But let's get this first name.
It's like Hilton?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Hilton,
yeah.
Hills.
Hilton Hills. Yeah.
Toss up 19. Lita Albuquerque installed 99 blue spheres in this place, corresponding to the positions of stars in the sky for the artwork Stellar Axis. A modernist building in this place made out of 134 shipping containers was designed by Germany's Boff Architekten. A prefabricated building in this location, named for the naval officer Commandante Faraz, replaced a building that was destroyed in a 2012 fire. Footage shot by the guitarist Henry Kaiser inspired a 2007 Werner Herzog documentary about this place. Hugh Broughton is known for designing buildings for this place.
Antarctica?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Sure.
Plus 20. After this character kills an enemy whose slain body is compared to an empty bladder, a woman who assisted that enemy throws away her golden cup, which parallels the golden cup full of abominations mentioned in the Book of Revelations. Just as this character is about to be killed, he unveils his diamond shield, which blinds both a giant and a many-headed beast. That happens in the first of several incidents in which this character rescues a hero in the eighth canto of the book. A poet wrote that he used this character because he was furthest from the danger of envy and made famous by many men's former works in a letter to Sir Walter Raleigh. He's not the hero of any specific book of the Faerie Queen, but Spenser uses this character to represent the virtue of magnificence and depicts him as being obsessively in love with the Faerie Queen. For influence, name this legendary character who Spenser depicts as a prince prior to his kinghood.
Arthur.
Thank you.
Get the score.
Yeah, 105, 60 with 4 left.
Okay.
Toss up 21. A courtesan with this nickname is depicted next to a goldfish bowl that reflects a crowd of people peeking through a window in a portrait by Nathaniel Hone, which visually puns on her name. That woman with this nickname became a celebrity thanks to Joshua Reynolds' portraits of her and had the last name Fisher. A woman with this nickname married Wynne Godley, whose head was the model for her father's sculpture, St. Michael's Victory over the Devil. This was the nickname of the eldest daughter of Jacob Epstein, whose last name was Garmin, and who is depicted in Girl with the White Dog. That woman with this nickname also depicted was also depicted in 1949, a portrait that emphasizes her wide eyes and depicts her in profile in front of some green shutters with peeling paint. For 10 points, give this nickname the first wife of Lucian Freud.
Fifi.
No.
Kitty.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Wow. That was a guess.
Buzz. Good, Buzz.
That was 22. The few people who take these things seriously are the liars who want to be believed, according to an essay on the ontology of these things from the collection The World Within the Word. Richard Ford's statement about American examples of these things in the introduction to the novel Light Years is an example of the critical commonplace that James Salter was a master. Of these things. One of these things seeks its form in the title of an essay by William Gass, who wrote a 2012 essay collection whose title is a pun on these things. A record-setting one of these things appears in Jonathan Coe's The Rotters Club. Matthias Einar's Zone and both.
So do you want me to say a sentence?
I do.
Oh. Zone is a single sentence.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a great book, too.
23. The lesbian playwright Amma accuses her straight, home-owning, yet single friends of having Looking for This Person syndrome in Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other. In another novel, this man provides an unfixed, unspoken, intuitive intimacy between the protagonist and her boyfriend, providing a third presence as they have sex, though that protagonist later criticizes this man as magic. The Yale professor Blaine rekindles his relationship with his girlfriend through a shared passion for this man.
Obama.
Yeah, Tim.
Good job.
Who?
Obama.
Oh.
Obama.
What was it?
America.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that was
good. And last question. In order to continuously screen this film without causing wear and tear on the print, the Walker Art Center developed a special type of projection device that used gel. The screenplay for this film grew out of a chapter from the director's essay collection Chroma. The statement, "I place a delphinium on your grave," ends this film, whose narrators include John Quinton, Nigel Terry, and Tilda Swinton. Eric Satie, Coyle, and Brian Eno are among the artists on the soundtrack of this film, whose austerity contrasts with the over-the-top visuals of the director's earlier films, like Jubilee and
Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Derek
Jarman.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. Good job.
135, 7.
Good game.